Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me read to you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm going to be sharing a message on the first works that should have been done at the point of salvation. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Noah Webster in 1828 defined iniquity also as a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or crime, wickedness, or any act of injustice. When you came to Christ, you should have received the Holy Spirit, who would lead you into all truth and help you repent so you can start departing from iniquity by walking in the light He is showing you. Light is the revelation or truth God expects you to walk in by grace through faith. Paul was speaking about Jesus in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. He said, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He came to save us and clean us up too, so that we could do the things He planned for us from the beginning." We read in John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law only showed us we were sinning, but through Jesus Christ we have access to grace and truth. So there is no reason to keep on committing the same sins again and again." Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?'" Verse 23, "And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.' If you are still making excuses for sin, then you are in danger of being left behind, even if you are called in the ministry. There is no point in telling Jesus your name and who you are and the works that you have done in His name, as everything is recorded in heaven." Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5, I'm reading. This is the book of Revelation chapter 2, starting verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Verse 2. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Verse 3. "Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The church of Ephesus was a church with a lot of natural discernment and knowledge based on doctrines, but they still had to do their first works because they had lost their first love. The Corinthians had a similar problem, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Your righteousness also depends on hearing his voice all the time, trusting and obeying and walking in the Spirit. There are things he has planned. And if you miss God's plan for your life, that is also sin. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 in the Amplified Bible says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. If you want to be free from sin, you have to lose your own rights and let him decide the boundaries he has set in your life by being sensitive to his presence. You cannot claim to be righteous just because you're born again. Some are trusting in the finished work of Christ, but they keep sinning. You have to wake up spiritually to a righteousness by faith that produces the fruit of the Spirit by following Jesus on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You will not find the narrow way using your natural mind. So you have to be prepared to be foolish. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. I'm starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that you may be really wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. God knows those who belong to him, and whether or not they have repented of dead works. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do, if God permit. Doing your first works is not going backwards. Instead, it's releasing you to go forwards and be used more. Build a solid foundation now based on repentance from dead works and faith towards God, as this is part of your first works. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You should have realized that all man's thinking is vain and have no confidence in what you have achieved with human understanding. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 17 to 20, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18. having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all kind of uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. The unregenerate heart makes you blind. It loves the world. If you still have a confidence in the flesh, you have not repented of dead works. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 to 26. This is the book of Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The word first in Strong's is number 4413, used in Revelation 2 and verse 5. It's a contracted superlative of another word. It means foremost in time, place, order, or importance. It means before, or beginning, or best, or chief. The word first means there is nothing more important. Jesus should be your first love. But if he's not, then this is idolatry. There is no greater priority than dealing with the carnal nature once you are born again. Start by denying yourself. Take up your cross daily. Do not make any effort to bring a sacrifice or do vain ministry works that God never told you to do, thinking that this will please God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will cry at the coming of the Lord because they never made Jesus Lord. They called him Lord, but that is not enough. The foundation for walking with Christ must be laid properly. The first works includes repentance from dead works, faith towards God, waking up to righteousness by faith, rejecting natural wisdom, getting on the narrow way, becoming a fool for Christ, denying self and taking up your cross daily, following Christ, crucifying the carnal nature, and seeking to do the will of God. At the age of 18, I was told I had to make Jesus Lord and Savior to receive eternal life. However, when I asked more questions, it was only about accepting Jesus as my Savior. I was told that he died in my place, and that my sins were put upon him. I only had to believe in the fact that he died for me. I did not disagree that Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world, and that meant my sins as well. The gospel I first heard emphasized what Jesus did on the cross. This was new to me, so I started listening. I never saw myself as a bad person. I'd been brought up attending church and went to Sunday school. I knew most of the Bible stories from seeing pictures in children's books, and one of those stories was even about Jesus dying on the cross. Charles Finney described his first encounter with the Lord like this. Just at the point, this passage of Scripture seemed to drop into my mind with a flood of light. Then shall you go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Then shall you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I instantly seized hold on this with my heart. I had intellectually believed the Bible before, but never had the truth been in my mind that faith was a voluntary trust instead of an intellectual state. I was as conscious as I was of my existence of trusting in that moment in God's veracity. Somehow I knew that this was a passage of Scripture. Though I did not think I had ever read it, I knew that it was God's word and that God's voice, as it were, that spoke to me. I cried to him, Lord, I take thee at thy word. Now thou knowest that I do search for thee with all my heart, and that I have come here to pray to thee, and thou hast promised to hear me. He then gave me many other promises, both from the Old and the New Testament, especially some most precious promises respecting our Lord Jesus Christ. I can never in words make any human being understand how precious and true those promises appeared to me. I took them one after the other as infallible truth and assertions of God who could not lie. They did not seem so much to fall into my intellect as into my heart, to be put within the grasp of the voluntary powers of my mind. I seized hold of them, appropriated them, and fastened upon them with the grasp of a drowning man. The brother who was talking to me about Christ did pray, and he got his local church to pray for me as well, and this did affect me. I did not have many friends at college where I was studying, about 4 miles from my home. I got to know someone and found out later they were not interested in me. My heart was open and I got hurt. I was not doing well in my exams and it looked like I was not even going to go to university. I had to work hard in my studies and do more revision in the time I had left. This little bit of pressure overwhelmed me at the time and made me cry out to God. I had resisted the gospel for at least 6 months. The young man preaching at me turned to me one night and said, "You are being carried along in this life. The moment you turn around, you will find God." Those words became very real to me as I was cycling home and I felt a wind blowing me along. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." My salvation experience came after reaping a little of what I had been sowing, and I could not see any easy way out. God did not let me reap all the consequences of my sin, but this made me open to God. On the way home from college, I felt like the world was on my shoulders as I cycled home. I was being blown along by a wind in my back. I stopped my bicycle, knelt down, and prayed with all my heart, "I need you, Jesus." At that moment, I received Jesus in my heart. After I cried out, I experienced his presence and joy, and peace flooded into my life as I cycled home. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." In the autobiography of Charles Finney, we read on pages 159 to 161, "I always insisted much in my instructions upon the entire consecration to God, giving up all to him, body, soul, possessions, to be forever and after used for his glory as a condition of acceptance with God. Sinners were not encouraged to expect the Holy Spirit to convert them while they were passive and never told to wait for God's time, but were taught unequivocally that they first and immediate duty was to submit themselves to God, to renounce their own will, their own way, and themselves, to instantly deliver up all that they were and all that they had to their rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught that the only obstacle in their way was their own stubborn will, that God was trying to gain their unqualified consent to give up their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness and salvation. The point was frequently urged upon them to give their consent, and they were told that the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them, and the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. Faith in God and God in Christ was ever made prominent. They were informed that this faith is not a mere intellectual assent, but is the consent or trust of the heart, a voluntary, intelligent trust in God as he is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the justice of endless punishment was fully insisted upon, and not only in its justice, but at the certainty that sinners will be endlessly punished if they die in their sins was strongly held forth. Sinners were never taught in any of the revivals that they needed to expect conversion in answer to their own prayers. They were told that if they regarded iniquity in their hearts, the Lord would not hear them, and that while they remained impenitent, they were sinning in their hearts, and that such impenitent and unbelieving prayer is an abomination to God. But if they were truly disposed to offer acceptable prayer to God, they could do it, for there was nothing but their own obstinacy in the way of doing so at once. In short, pains were taken to shut the sinner up to accepting Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations, renouncing all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here and now forever. In numerous tracts I read, sin separated man from God. I was not warned, however, that I could still sin after I was born again by getting in the flesh and then reap the consequences of sin if I did not get connected to God, hear, and obey the Spirit. The church I went to at that time did not believe that someone could hear the voice of Jesus through the Spirit. They believed everyone had to follow a system of guidelines or rules instead, based on the written word, in a similar way to the Pharisees in the Bible. The truth is everyone needs a Savior, but only by making Jesus Lord can they stop sinning. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I never saw myself as a drowning man deserving hell by being Lord of my own life until I went through a deep breaking. I did not seek the minimum conditions I needed to follow Christ, because there were things that I liked doing, like playing football and watching programs on TV, that I was not willing to surrender. I eventually asked about making him Lord, and I was told, this is just a matter of reading your Bible, going to church, and doing good works. I accepted this version of the Lordship of Jesus because it suited the way I wanted to live as Lord of my own life. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Later on, I heard one preacher who said, when you confess your sins, all your sins are forgiven in the past, present, and future. These were attempts to comfort the congregation, but people's lives were not changing, including my own. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Only the blood of Jesus can remove sin. It does not just cover the sin, it washes it away. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. To be forgiven, we have to confess the sins committed. You also need to confess all the things that you did instead of doing the perfect will of God that he planned for your life. You can only confess sins if you have been convicted of them. If you do not want to sin again, then you need to walk in the Spirit. There is no other way to stop sinning. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Sin is doing anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, or action. Once you are born again, for you to sin, you have to first get in the flesh. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. This is James chapter 1, starting verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. There are consequences of sin, even if you are born again. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you keep sinning against God, you will die and never get to rule and reign with Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, I'm reading. This is Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Verse 7. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now through Jesus Christ and obeying the Spirit, you can stop sinning and put to death the flesh and live by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Christianity is not just another religion. Those who believe you only need to be born again to be saved secretly want to be Lord of their own lives and have a freedom to do what they want. Repent now and do your first works, because this is not the truth. Many believe that eternal life is just living forever, that comes by saying the sinner's prayer or being born again. This belief dominates Christianity even today. In the Old Testament, we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, I'm reading verses 14 all the way to verse 21. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, starting in verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, as we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious corner stone, a sure foundation, and he that believes shall not make haste. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Verse 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Verse 19. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Verse 20. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth as the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. The cornerstone mentioned is a sure foundation that does not change. This cornerstone is part of your first works. It includes Jesus being your first love and establishing Jesus as Lord of your life. This sets the cornerstone in place so you can become part of God's house and also be part of the kingdom of God now. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm reading verses 1 to 11. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and he set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the vineyard, and built a tower, and led it out to the husbandman and went into a far country. Verse 2. And at the season he sent to the husbandman a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. Verse 3. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. Verse 4. And again he sent unto them another servant, and to him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. Verse 5. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Verse 6. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will revere my son. Verse 7. But those husbandmen said unto themselves, This is the heir come. Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. Verse 8. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Verse 9. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. Verse 10. Have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Verse 11. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The Jews rejected Jesus and therefore rejected the cornerstone. We read in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus called himself the Son of Man, and was without sin. He was born of a virgin, controlled by the Spirit. His fruit, his life and teachings prove that he was able to do the will of God just by faith, not consulting his own will. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus did not consult or seek his own mind, but with a direct link, obey God through the Holy Spirit. We have the same possibility today because of Jesus. The Jews rejected Jesus as king over them. You are rejecting Jesus as king too, by rejecting the new operating system he provided by the Spirit to make him Lord. We read in John 14 and verse 6. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have set yourselves up as the authority of your own life instead of Jesus, you will face the judgment. This is what the devil did, and he is a murderer. The Jews were blinded by their religion and tried to kill Jesus. The bad fruit in the Pharisees was the fruit of rebellion. Those in the church leadership representing themselves are in great danger today. No one will overcome God, even with silent rebellion. He is always right. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 12, on page 209, Joseph Hedgecott says, This is the truth. If you are not walking close to where you should be, you are and have been in rebellion. It is a silent rebellion, because you actively participate in the ministry, but you will not do what God says. Instead, you choose to listen to Satan and yield yourselves to obey him and his lies, rather than to obey God and his truth. Anyone not following Christ is not obeying the gospel of God, deceiving themselves and giving a wrong impression to others. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. But ye therefore, followers of God, as dear children, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also had loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. It's never too late to enter the kingdom of God now. If you are born again, all you have to do is become like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever thou shalt so humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The sincere milk of his word is the word that flows by the Holy Spirit into your mind when your mind is still and not anxious. We read in the Psalms 46 and verse 10, says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. God loves you, and he will feed all those with a heart after God, with his rightly divided word, who have ears to hear. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. If you are in the Spirit, you will hear key truths and teachings that God will remind you of again and again until you are a doer of them. Peter continues in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 to 10, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Verse 7. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Jesus is the rock of offense. People like Jesus, meek and mild, but get offended at the teaching that Jesus has to be Lord for you to be saved. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." Only those who hear, get to know, and follow Christ will never perish. This is the only place that eternal security is defined in the Bible. You may have believed that you will never perish just because you are born again, but that is a lie. Also, eternal life, according to Jesus, is defined in one verse, and it's not just living forever. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, he said, "This is life eternal, that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You cannot get to know God unless you abide in him and trust in him with all your heart. You will never get to know him if you keep making excuses for sin and disobey God. Only by losing your natural freedom on the narrow way will you save your own soul and help others. Let me read an example of what Paul was preaching. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Verse 10. "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." The word in Strong's for obey is number 5219. It's from another word or words means to hear under or be a subordinate. That is to listen attentively, by implication to heed or to conform to a command or authority. Paul wrote that the wrath of God and his vengeance will come upon all those who know not God and do not obey the gospel of God. To get to know God, you have to get on the narrow way and obey the Spirit. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "To deal out retribution, chastisement, and vengeance upon those who do not know or perceive or become acquainted with God, and upon those who ignore and refuse to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." The good news is that he is willing to take over the reins of your life and change you into the image of Christ by grace through faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30. "Moreover, whom did he predestine? Them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Christ overcame the cross, which was predestined, and showed us how to please God by faith and do the will of God by being submitted to the leading of the Spirit. Your life in Christ is predestined to be like Christ, justified and glorified, if you listen to the voice of the Spirit and obey as well. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18. But we are all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Christ did not get the victory by looking after his own interests and doing what he wanted. He submitted himself to being led by the Spirit. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, in chapter 7 on page 89, Joseph Hedgecock writes, God will anoint you to do whatever he tells you to do. He has a plan for my life, and he has a plan for your life as well. The devil knows that the only way he can keep you from God's plan is by tempting you to operate in your reasoning where you cannot communicate with God because you are in the flesh. This walk isn't complicated. Satan will try to confuse you if he can. He will tell you it's too hard and that God doesn't require this of you. Yes, it's a little difficult in the beginning when you begin practicing self-denial. However, if you are consistent, the discomfort will only last for a short time. If you do anything in the flesh, you will become a slave of sin again. We read in John chapter 8, I'm reading verses 30 to 34. This is John's Gospel chapter 8, and starting in verse 30. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. And they answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Only those continuing in his word are disciples of Jesus. This is not the written word. The religious Jews who believed on him did not like being told that they were slaves. Carnal Christians, the modern Pharisees living by the written word today, do not like being told they are not free either. We are to live directed by the Spirit. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verses 5 and reading verse 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. Verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The water represents here baptism that includes repentance from dead works. Only those who have repented from dead works and are led by the Spirit will be able to enter and live in the kingdom. There is no exception according to Jesus. There is forgiveness now in the name of Jesus, and through the Spirit-led life, it is possible to stop sinning. There is no excuse. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. The devil is afraid of you because you can potentially destroy his works by abiding in Christ if you are led by the Spirit. The devil has arranged his false prophets in the church who talk about blessing and prosperity without repentance from dead works. They even sow the devil's seed and stop the truth being presented. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, I'm reading verses 24 all the way to verse 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Verse 27. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Verse 28. And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Will thou then we go and gather them up? Verse 29. But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and burn them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The devil is the god of this world. He needs to control you when you arrive here and stop you from entering the kingdom of God. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, the ground represents the hearts of men and women in this world. The good seed is sown by the shepherd, that is Jesus. The tares are sown in the hearts of those who do not get on the narrow way. The wheat and the tares are left to grow together, because by faith in God, everyone has everything they need to overcome the flesh and the devil and enter the kingdom of God now and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The devil does not mind you hearing many Christian teachings, as long as you keep using your minds and do not make Jesus Lord. The gospel is only supposed to be shared by those who had made him Lord on the narrow way. Christianity is not just another religion. How will you live in heaven if you're not able to enter the kingdom of heaven now? Those on the broad road think they can do whatever they want now and still rule and reign with Christ. This is an obvious lie. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Anyone who is still using their mind to make decisions will pass through the fire. The fire will burn up any dead works that you failed to confess earlier and any more since, because you did not get to the root issue and stop sinning. Many are lazy and happy to hear that being born again is enough. However, those not doing the will of God now will end up facing the second death. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. This is the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The gift of eternal life was given so you could effectively follow Christ by faith, hear his voice, and get to know him now. It's a gift paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ, because God so dearly loved the world. Jesus said in John 3:16, this is John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Some see Christianity as a way of extending their life so that they do not have to make any changes in their lifestyles. John was baptizing the Jews, getting them ready for the kingdom of God. We read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, he is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the gurner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You should see any bad fruit in your life as evidence that you have not really repented of dead works. Your dead works will include any religious achievements. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I'm reading, this is Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You were sent here by God with the gift, the measure of faith, and the grace of God to do the will of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2:12 in the Amplified Bible says, "Therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ." If you now use God's gifts and grace for anything other than completing your salvation, this is serious. If you have made your life comfortable through the talents God has given you, this is also a misuse of God's grace. Everything you receive still belongs to Christ, including any talents. Therefore, you must work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 And I'm reading all the way to verse 30. This is Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered them unto them his goods. Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Verse 17. And likewise he that received the 2, he also gained another 2. Verse 18. But he that received the 1 went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckoned with them. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that which is yours. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the 1 talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. A record is kept in heaven of what you have received already and its purpose. Talents were given to you so that you could do the will of God. Salvation is not for the lazy person. God gave you enough grace and faith to do everything he planned. The evangelist who led you to Christ should have exposed all the selfishness and wickedness in your life. The talents given to you were for you to complete a godly calling instead and serve others by making Jesus Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Ask the Lord to show you how he sees your past. You have to repent of the good that you are doing and the bad. You might have only dealt with the bad works, but never saw your good works as evil. If you know you have some bad fruit in your life while you are doing things in Jesus' name, that is filthy. According to Jesus, those still producing bad fruit will end up in the fire. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 6 to 9. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, starting in verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, attempts, like the wind, have taken us away. Verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirs up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art the potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Verse 9. Be not angry and very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are thy people. All our efforts to be nice, if God did not direct it, are filthy rags. God's people can easily miss God's perfect will without truth and conviction. In the Amplified Bible, John 3:16 says this, For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have everlasting life. The word believe here in the Amplified Bible uses some extra words. It means to, number one, trust in, number two, cling to, and number three, rely on. To be saved, you have to cling to the Lord, not just say, I believe. You need to see that believing is more than just some words being spoken in a prayer. A young evangelist questioned Charles Finney about the need for an after-inquiry meeting at his evangelistic events. The young evangelist said he was just getting people to raise their hands at the end of a meeting in response to salvation. Charles Finney answered by saying that he liked the way he was doing his after-inquiry meeting rather than a quick emotional response and a raised hand. Someone might be saved at the end of their life by saying a simple prayer. However, this should be the exception, not the rule. People who are healthy should be confronted. If someone is still carnal, they will not escape the fire. The gospel is not just a fire insurance policy against hell. Those who love truth will not keep sinning and have entered on the narrow way. My earthly father attended church but only made the decision to accept Christ when he realized he was dying from cancer. Before he died, his life was changed by the Holy Spirit. He had joy and peace as a sign that he entered the kingdom. Charles Finney did not believe anyone was made right with God until they went from a state of feeling uncomfortable with sin and utterly lost to receiving the peace of God. To him, salvation was a spiritual process, and you had to be lost or helpless before you could be saved. Everyone had to exchange temporal things for eternal things based on faith in the precious promises of God. Each person had to believe and seek God for himself or herself and make no excuses for sin. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, I'm reading. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in their own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you believe in him, you ask him everything. Maybe you have a difficulty asking God everything because you are religious. The flesh does not like this idea of asking God. If you are on the narrow way, you will always feel helpless. You need to remain helpless. Otherwise, you will end up with a confidence in the flesh and be a castaway. those clinging to God are relying on Him to tell them through the Holy Spirit in what way their lives are wrong. They trust Him to direct every step. Those who have believed the gospel intellectually without ever feeling helpless are lost, trying to save themselves by works or self-effort. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The word lost in Strong's is number 622. It's from another word which means the base of to be destroyed fully, literally or figuratively, to destroy, die, lose, or perish. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says this, But even if our gospel, the glad tidings, also be hidden, obscured, and covered up with a veil that hinders the knowledge of God, it is hidden only to those who are perishing and obscured, only to those who are spiritually dying, and veiled only to those who are lost. Jesus' example has become a stumbling stone to those who are not denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. Even in the Church of Jesus Christ, many want salvation on their own terms and do not want to do the works that He has appointed for them. You become part of Christ by submitting to what God has called you to be. You are just a brick in the house. Let the Lord do everything through you, as otherwise you will be doing dead works again. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. When Jesus comes back and sets up His literal kingdom on the earth, there will be no opportunity for anyone to do what they want. John said in 1 John 2 and 17, And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Jesus can give you a long life, but that is based on completing your calling. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 13, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He is the source of life, and no one can do any good without Him. Jesus needs to be Lord of what you're doing now, since you started your new life in Christ. I know I have the Son, because He has me in His grip. I refuse to make the decisions with my mind. If you do not abide, you will lose the life that was predestined for you. The plan will not change. If you come out of Christ, you will not be able to start back exactly where you stopped walking with God. You stopped abiding by moving in the flesh, because your faith in God was weak or missing. So when you come back to Christ, you have to repent deeper or do your first works over again. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel chapter 6, starting in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Verse 47. Whosoever therefore comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, because it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49. And he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Many today are offended at the idea of Jesus being Lord, and do not like to hear that you should stop thinking and like consulting their own minds instead. They will not let go and let Christ direct everything. If you do not make him Lord, you will reap what you sow in the flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." God lets his own children reap what they have sown, so that they understand and come to repentance before it's too late. The day of no repentance is coming, and God knows whether or not you have a heart after God. You might be like the prodigal son and come to your senses when you realize you've wasted all your inheritance on earthly pursuits. Jesus gave us a new operating system, so that we do not have to use our own minds anymore and keep sinning. Those who are using natural wisdom are foolish virgins lacking foresight. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verses 1, and I'm reading all the way to verse 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning in verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Verse 2. "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Verse 3. "And they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them." Verse 4. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Verse 5. "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Verse 6. "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him.'" Verse 7. "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." Verse 8. "And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.'" Verse 9. "But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you. But go ye there rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.'" Verse 10. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Verse 11. "Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.'" Verse 12. "But he answered and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not.'" Verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Those taking oil with them value what God has taught them and use what they have learned through repentance and humbling themselves. If you are still using your mind and make decisions, you have a confidence in the flesh and you are not ready for his appearing. John Wesley said this, "I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist in Europe or in America, but I'm afraid lest they should only exists as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast both the doctrine, spirit, and discipline with which they first set out. The righteousness of God is by faith in what God said for you. If you are going faster than your ability to hear God, you will end up sinning without the grace of God. So you need to learn to follow Christ and not go ahead of him. We read in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus did not commission everyone to share the gospel. He commissioned his disciples to make disciples. Someone decided, based on natural wisdom, that everyone could do this. However, Paul authorized only Timothy to do this work. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verses 1 to 6. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I charge you, thee therefore, be before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. There was already a leavening of the truth in the early church. Paul addressed this by telling Timothy to start confronting the people in the church who were not enduring sound teaching that they had received from the Apostle Paul. He was about to die, and Paul saw that the people were still not following his example, so he authorized Timothy to evangelize the church. Could you be trusted to preach the narrow way? Or is there evidence in your life already that you have compromised and made it easy for people to be saved without getting on the narrow way? Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 41, I'm reading. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There is no excuse for sin. There is committed sin and the sin of omission. Both are sin. Only those doing the right thing every day by faith are righteous because they listen to God and obey him. The anointing on those led by the Spirit confirms that they are not committing any sin, and also they are doing the will of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. In Christ, liberty is a process you go through from being called to being chosen. God provides a liberty based on the fact that he knows what is best for you now, and it starts with you making him Lord. the Spirit will confirm that you are staying within the boundaries He has designated for your life and calling by the Holy Spirit coming on you. Jesus said in John 10, verses 7 to 11, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is the door, and you need to enter the sheepfold and stay close to him. You do not need to go outside the protection of his sheepfold unless he is leading you out, because there are thieves and robbers outside. He is the Savior. But you only experience eternal salvation by making him Lord. You need to stop making the decision with your own mind and follow Christ by hearing his voice. We read in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It's not going to get easier to be faithful. Temptation in this world is already increasing. The devil is angry because he will soon meet his end. If you believe lies that you can do whatever you want to do and still be saved, then you will also be tempted to compromise in the last days. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. Repentance from dead or lifeless works of any kind is often skipped over. It's very unpleasant when you are confronted with the things that also appear good in your past. Even good works after salvation are dead works if the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do them. Doing your first works over again includes repentance from vainglorious acts of spiritualized flesh done in the name of Jesus. One lady in a Bible study asked me to tell her how God saw her sin. She was only aware of the bad fruit. However, the Holy Spirit used me to share in detail what he wanted to say. She started crying as I shared, but said, Don't stop. She wanted to get to the root of her sin. She did not care that this was during a church meeting with other ladies. She was broken. One person said, That is enough now, because the lady was in tears. She thanked me afterwards for not stopping. A year later, she was on fire for God, and she told me that all the other ladies were no longer attending Bible study anymore. Many want to make heaven, but want to be Lord of their own lives. It is perhaps better for some not following Christ to go back into the world rather than believe they will receive anything. James said in James chapter 1, verses 7 to 11, This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no longer risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You should have started by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily in order to follow Christ. He should be your first love. If not, why not? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. I'm reading Matthew 13, starting in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man had found, he hid, and for joy thereof goeth and sold all that he had and bought the field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking godly pearls. Verse 46. For when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Jesus is the man who bought the field. The field is the world. Jesus is the one who found you in that muddy field. You were covered in mud. He cleaned you up. He knows your full potential. He started cleaning you up with truth. Do not see conviction as something negative. This is a sign that you are worth so much. Jesus came looking for you, and he found you broken and rejected in the trash heap of the world, and he was willing to pay the price for you. He had to die for the sins of the whole world on the cross, not just yours. You are the prize, and he paid for the field with just you in mind. This is love. If you were the only person who responded, Jesus died for you to have the Holy Spirit and be useful again, and take your place in the kingdom of God. You are the pearl of great price, but you need to let Jesus restore you. If he does not clean you up, you will never take your proper place and end up being useless again. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Heschkopf. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience your salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Heschkopf. Do not let the devil turn you away from trusting God fully. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Heschkopf. This message today is for those with a heart after God who know that they need to do their first works over. Most importantly of all, you need to go back and look at those things, those dead works in the past, and confess them all. That is part of your freedom to understand that only what God is directing has any value in his sight. And I pray that as you begin to let go and let God, he can totally transform your life. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for everyone who's listened to this message. Father, as you have touched their hearts and convicted them of areas, that Father, you give them the answer of what they need to do right now and work out their salvation in fear and trembling before you. In Jesus' name, amen. You will find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below, either directly or via link to the website. After this message, our contact details will follow. God bless you. Please get in touch with the ministry and let us know how you're doing. In Jesus' name, God bless you.